Tell you, I can't think of another group I'd rather follow, I'll be honest with you. My favorite group is Just Forgiven, and that's because it's family. And I think there's a law somewhere that says you have to do that. But I'm telling you now, these right here are special. Like, they got a special place in my heart. Man, I mean, they really do. That ain't me just saying nothing. I don't give out compliments just to give them out. I give them out because, honestly, it's what my heart says, and I love them. I really do. They was members of the church with me, the only church I ever knew. The only song leader I ever had that never was a family member, really. And I tell you, they've watched me grow up in the church, and they know me. And here they are sitting anyways, and they'll be in church with me. I tell you, that speaks volumes. I told them all at Southwest before I left, I said, either you all love me, or you're the biggest bunch of liars I've ever met in my life. Because if they don't love me, man, they sure are lying an awful lot, because they sure didn't show me love. They prayed for me all the time. They took care of me. They took care of my family whenever I was in a foreign land. They watched after my daughter when she was just a couple months old. They all helped her out as much as they could. And I'll be honest with you, they gave me the best send-off to go to war I've ever heard of. And then on top of that, they gave me the best send-off I ever saw to go out and minister to another church, starting in pastoring over at Rosedale. And I tell you, I'm humbled to be a part of the Southwest Free Will Baptist Church. I'm honored to say I was a member there for well over 25 years. And I only have one pastor. That's my dad. He's the only pastor I've ever had. And maybe I'll have another one maybe later on in life, but he's the only one I've had up until now. So Southwest is a special place in my heart. They always will be. I seen Brandon back here. That's one of my first bosses that I've ever had back here, too. And here she is to see me. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they think they knew me. She knew me. She knew me back when I was 16, 17 years old. And I'm going to tell you right now, those are some days I hope I'd like to forget, to be honest with you. A lot of times I've done things, and she saw me do stuff. I'll never forget. I got to tell this before we get into it. She already knows what I'm going to tell, too. Well, out the back door of Pizza Hut over in Grove City where we worked, it kind of sloped up toward the parking lot, and I like to have fun, and so does Brandy. You know, because we're both Christians, and you know Christians have fun. I thought it'd be a lot of fun to get up in one of them trash cans that had wheels on the bottom and have her push me down the hill. Only to find out at the bottom of the ramp, the door was closed, and there I went right into the door. We thought it was going to be different, I think. I did. She probably knew what was going to happen. That goes back to that wisdom you was talking about earlier. But that was some of the things that we did. I mean, we was crazy. She's crazy as I was. I don't let her lie to you. We had a good time. Good to see you. I'm glad you came out tonight. A lot of people here praying for us. I know that. I want you to understand that my mamaw really felt your prayers. I told her. See, she's 93 years old, but she's with it. Believe me, she's with it. They got her on a lot of medication. Yes, she can still carry a conversation very, very well. She had us cracking up at times and had me crying by the time I left. She really did. She is full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. I wish that I had more time to spend with her and talk with her, but unfortunately I can't. So, but instead I knew I was leaving knowing that she was praying for me. That's the last word she told me. I'm praying for you. She also went on to say, God's been good. And not only has he been good, he's going to continue to be good. And she said, I know that he's taken care of me up until now, and I know he's going to take care of me all the way into heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, that's how I want to get out of here. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to leave this world. I want to leave letting everyone know, if you want to see me, you'll know where to find me. It's in heaven. And I want everyone in attendance of every congregation, of every church I go to, if you don't know anything about me, know this, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And if you want to see me, if you don't see me here in this world, you can see me in heaven. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Now don't gasp, it ain't nothing crazy. I ain't going to get all millennial, premillennial, or panmillennial either. I'm going to take a verse of scripture here, preach on it just a bit, but as a precursor, you don't have to stand, by the way. It's only going to be one verse. But as a precursor to this, I don't know about you, but I like to close out in a revival on a high note. Am I the only one that does? I'll tell you why I want to close out on a high note. I want to be revived. And you know, my prayer all along this revival has been that, Lord, send the revival. And I don't want to be the one to determine who gets it. You know, I don't want it to just be the pastor because he needs it. I don't want it to just be his congregation because they need it. I don't want it to just be the singers even though they need it. And I don't want it to be just me even though I need it. I want the Lord to send the revival to who he knows needs it. And I know this much. I'm saved, and I believe I'm talking to some people that can say they can base it on the assurance and the authority of the Word of God. You're saved also. Because we can know that we're saved. Right? It ain't a guessing game. It ain't a walking around on a thin line on all eggshells like a lot of people want to preach. You can know you're saved.
Amen.
And buddy, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Because God told me I'm saved in His Word. So I know I am. Now, if I'm saved, that inherits a couple of things. And 1 John 4:4 is one of my favorite verses. He says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." I want to preach to the overcomers tonight. That's not to negate sinners, or if you're not here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, don't worry, you can get on us too. But I want to end on a high note and preach to some overcomers tonight. I want to preach to some saved people tonight, and I want you to be encouraged through God's Word. And if we can expound on one verse, it's Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." That hidden manna, I've done a lot of study on, and I want to tell you the results of the study. It's hidden. It's hidden. Now there was manna from heaven, and we know that we read that earlier on in Exodus whenever Moses led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, and we know that manna was provided, and I know that we could sit and pull up a nice patch of grass and set out right there and preach on the hidden manna and say that we believe that that's the hidden manna that's referred to here, but we can't say that for sure. You know why? Well, it's hidden. So I know that as an overcomer, this is Jesus talking, by the way. I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible shows it in red. If your Bible don't show it in red, will you get you a King James Authorized 1611 Version Bible that says red print? Would you do that? Somebody ought to amen right there.
Amen.
There's still only one version I'll preach from, only one version I'll teach from.
Amen.
If you're confused by that, we can have a conversation. Amen. Let's continue on. The words are in red. So Jesus said it, and He said, "To them that overcome, I will give the hidden manna and a white stone." Now, since I can't preach on the hidden manna, I did some research. I'm going to preach on the white stone. You know why? I started this conversation 3 days ago in this revival. And what did I tell you I'm in this for? I'm in it for the blessing. I'm in it for the blessing.
Hey,
man. Hey, listen, I know there's hell to shun, but there's heaven to gain. Now, it was hell that scared me, but it's heaven that keeps me going. I say it like this, I wish I had two windows, one on this side and one on this side. One on this side to slide up so I could show you hell, so you'd run away from it. But the other one I'd like to keep open so you can see heaven, so you'll keep running.
That's
what I like to do. I can't do that. But instead, I can see some of the things in the Scripture that God's give us that will give us some encouragement today and help us to keep running. Why? I'll tell you why. I want the hidden manna, but boy, I want the white stone. I went into some research, some commentaries, and people are a lot smarter than me. One of them specifically is my buddy Paul Moore, who's done some study on this. He helped me out. I'm going to use three or four of his points tonight, if God will permit it. But in the meantime, I did some more study, and I found even more. I don't know about you, but I fell in love with God's Word whenever I got saved. Once I started reading it, now you try this as a rabbit I'll chase real quick. Try this. Commit yourself for a daily devotion. Read a verse or two. Then maybe you'll eventually evolve to a point where you do a chapter or two. Maybe you'll find one of them flyers or something fancy and get you a reading plan so you can read through the Word of God through the year. Anybody ever try that? You keep doing that and you see what happens. It'll be just like it is with family. The more time you spend with them, the more you love them. You may disagree and fight, butt heads, and if you ain't with the Word, then you ain't of this world, that's for sure. Because everybody living in this world has arguments with the Bible all the time. Because it's a two-edged sword. It keeps coming and going. But it'll draw you closer. It'll get you closer. And here's ultimately where we're trying to go. To heaven. And guess what? It's the roadmap that's going to get you there.
Amen.
So in reading God's Word, I want all I can get. So I started studying on this white stone, and this is what I found. Not in any particular order. I'm just going to go as God gives them to me. I jotted a few of these down, if you don't mind me reading notes. I came up in Enterprise Baptist, and they used to say, if you had notes, you ain't a preacher. I say, if you ain't got notes, you ain't a prepared preacher, in my opinion. But anyways, they ain't much, so don't worry. I'm still pretty close to the Enterprise. But here it is. I jotted down a few of them. One specifically was for pardoned criminals. The white stone was for pardoned criminals. And what would happen is, if you were found guilty, let's focus on that right there. This was only for the ones who was found guilty. of a crime. Not for the ones that was on the fence. Not for the innocent that was wrongfully accused. But the ones who were found innocent, completely guilty, not innocent. What would happen is they'd have to cast the stones. There was a white stone or there was a black stone. And as long as the white stones outweighed the black stones, they got acquitted. But we're further than that. It's good to be found acquitted. Amen.
Amen.
I can't believe you ain't shouting me down right there. It's good to know that you're guilty, but the judge, the righteous judge, has found you acquitted of all charges.
Uh-huh.
Acquitted means not guilt. Not, it's not that you were found not guilty. You were found guilty, but there's been mercy extended on you. So they've acquitted you of the charges. So here's what they would do. It's one thing to get the news, but it's another thing to get something in your hand. How many of you ever bought a car and just took somebody's word for it? No. What did you have to have? You had to have a proof of receipt. You had to have a title. You had to have something in your hand showing so that anyone, anywhere you go, ever question you whether or not that's yours, you can show them proof right there that it belongs to you, right?
Amen.
Hey, when you were acquitted, they'd take one of them white stones. I don't know exactly what they would do on it. And I don't know exactly what it would say. But they'd give it to the one who'd been acquitted. Let me tell you right now, I know I've been found guilty. I know I've been found guilty. I'll say it again. I know I've been found guilty. Because the Word of God also told me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Last I checked, I'm still included in the all. But every time the accuser comes and starts accusing me of all the things I've been found guilty for, I can reach in my pocket, praise God. I can produce the white stone of acquittal that was given to me and let him know, yeah, I'm guilty. And I've done it too. But buddy, I've been pardoned.
Amen.
I've been pardoned, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Been redeemed.
Glory to God.
I've been redeemed. I don't know about you, but I've been redeemed. For as much as you know, as you were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, or from the vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. That's what 1 Peter 1:18 tells me. I know what paid for me. I know what paid for my sins. I know what I've been redeemed by. And praise God, I know who done it. And I know who's going to give me the white stone. Oh, the red letters told me who's going to give me the white stone. Jesus Christ Himself is given the white stone, and it's the white stone of pardon. Praise God forevermore. Couldn't we just settle it right there? I'm telling you right now to know that I've been pardoned of my sins, to know that I've been set free, to know that I don't have to pay for what I've done, but instead He paid for it on the cross of Calvary. And what He's decided, what He's going to do, nobody can stop it. You know you can't stop the Lord. You can't stop Him. If He said He's going to do it, He'll do it. Mark it down. You cannot stop the Lord.
Amen.
You can't stop Him. They've tried in every way to stop Him. Hey, you can't drown Him because He'll walk on the water, won't He? You can't even try and set Him on fire. He'll walk around in it with His friends even. I'm a friend of Jesus. Bring the fire, see if we don't walk around. They try to put a wall up in front of Him, He'll knock it down. Praise God, if you try to make Him hungry, He'll make bread.
Yeah.
Try to make Him thirsty, He'll smite a rock and give water. And not just any water, I mean living water. Moving water, spiritual water that will stir your heart and your soul. Praise God forevermore. And they tried to put Him on a cross and kill Him. But hey, what happened? He put His blood on it and He rendered the power of the cross powerless. They stuck Him in a tomb thinking they was done with Him, like you were going to stop Him there. He'll raise again on Easter morning on the third appointed morning. How? According to the Scriptures.
Uh-huh.
He came out alive on His own power. I am He that was dead, but I'm alive and I'm alive forevermore. More red words in your King James Bible. Praise God. Am I plugging that enough? Hey man, I'm a King James believing man.
Me too, bro.
Praise God forevermore. He'll pardon. And I'll have that proof of a pardon in my hand, but not just that. Here's what else is white stone. I ain't going to get through all of them. I don't believe it. I'll tell you what, it's a good time up here. If you're a preacher and you've been called, this is the best spot in the house. I'm going to tell you that right now. Boy, I'll tell you, we went through some storms in the last few days. We went through some trials and some times. Can I tell you, hey, it ain't always easy. It ain't always easy, but I'll tell you what. He's always faithful. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is, He's always faithful. I'm here by the power of God and by the power of God only. He gave me that white stone for pardon, but he also gives it to me for a purchase. Now, this was something I had come up from another commentary rather than the Paul Moore commentary. I'd read and I found this out. This is good. I found out that the fathers would give his sons, whenever they'd go out to the marketplace, when the father couldn't be there, he'd give them a token. It'd be the white, the stone that he'd send him out with so that he could make purchase. And here's what it always said. Everywhere that boy went, no matter which place he went to buy whatever it was that he would buy, all he had to do was present the white stone, and they would say, "We're putting it on your father's tab." Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. You ain't got to pay right now. We're going to go ahead and put this one on dad's tab, and he'd get whatever he needed. I know that I've been some places, and I know I've done some things, but take a look at me. I ain't went without food. I ain't went without provision. The white stone will also provide, praise God, forevermore. He would provide, but with the ravens, to his prophet. The prophet had to eat out of the bottom of the barrel even. He would provide for him with five fishes and two loaves of bread.
Yeah.
5,000 men in attendance, not numbering the women and children. Praise God forevermore. I sat here and found tradition. I went to our church and they said, we pray after we take up the offering to give thanks. I said, boy, before I ever pass a basket, I'm going to pray because Jesus prayed. And they started to have a 5 and 2. Next thing you know, they had 12 baskets full left over. I'm going to pray before I pass the plates.
Amen.
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 Amen. We pray before we eat, right? Some people pray after you eat. I do. If I go to a buffet, I pray hard. Lord, let me make it home. Yeah. Hey, man. But to know, there's times David would even write, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. When he said that, he said, I was young, but now I'm old. You know what that tells me? I've got some experience. I've been involved in this for a while. I've been on the road for a little while, and this is what I've learned. Hey, you're not going to starve. You may not be eating and all fat and drive a Rolls Royce and wear a Rolex and wear Armani suits like they try to tell you on TBN. Am I allowed to talk about TBN here?
Yeah.
On TBN. Hey, man. Hey, listen. It ain't about all the flashiness, but sometimes they say, I never read anywhere where that widow's barrel and that cruise of oil was ever filled up. I never read it, but I know it never went dry.
Amen.
So maybe every single time she'd have to go to the bottom of the barrel to remind her, you might be at the bottom, but praise God, you ain't coming up empty.
That's right.
And that's where I live. Sometimes at the bottom of the barrel. And I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't a bad place to live.
Amen.
It ain't a bad place to hang out. I ain't got all the fame and the fortune that many people have in this world because I ain't selling my soul for it. I don't know about you. I'm not going to bend. Now, I mess around and talk about TV.